Hello, it's Tuesday, April 7th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief, your fast and focused update on the stories shaping Israel and the Middle East. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. In a few moments, you can hear today's conversation with Lahav Harkov, Senior Fellow at the Misgav Center and Senior Political Correspondent at Jewish Insider. But first, your headlines. President Trump has warned he will destroy every bridge and power plant in Iran unless a deal is reached by 8 o'clock US time tonight. The IDF appears to be preparing for major infrastructure strikes and has warned Iranian civilians in Persian against travelling by train until 9 o'clock tonight. The Israeli Air Force carried out overnight airstrikes and a large fire was seen at Mehrabad International Airport, a critical hub for Iran's air defence and military transport. After 12 hours of quiet, Iran resumed ballistic missile attacks on Israel this morning. Cluster bomb warheads targeted central Israel and Eilat. Another missile was fired at Be'er Sheva earlier. There have been no reports of any casualties. Iran has also ramped up attacks on Saudi Arabia. The Saudis intercepted 11 ballistic missiles and numerous drones this morning, while overnight falling shrapnel triggered a fire at Saudi's Al Jubail industrial hub. This hub is home to critical energy infrastructure, and Iran has threatened repeatedly to attack it. The Saudis are taking extra precautions today and have closed the 25-kilometre bridge linking it to Bahrain. There are reports from inside Iran that the new supreme leader, Mojtaba Khamenei, is incapacitated and unable to govern. Mojtaba has not been seen or heard from since he was named as his father's successor. This is compounding Iran's leadership crisis as President Trump's deadline looms. With oil soaring above $115 a barrel, the world remains focused on opening the Strait of Hormuz. The UN Security Council will vote on a watered-down resolution later today after Bahrain's proposal to open it by force was vetoed by China. The new text calls for defensive measures such as escorts for oil and cargo. Iran says it has already started charging ships to use the waterway. The Lebanese terrorist group Hezbollah fired dozens of rockets at communities in northern Israel this morning. The IDF continues to push Hezbollah back towards the Litani River while carrying out precision airstrikes on its leadership. The latest killed the group's artillery commander in Beirut. Well, there are reports of growing internal resentment against Hezbollah inside Lebanon as the group drags the country into a second devastating conflict within 2 years. Public frustration boiled over following the accidental killing of a Christian politician's family in a strike that was intended for a Hezbollah operative. Well, before we hear from today's guest, a word of thanks to our sponsor, Amy and Jonathan Ayres, made today's episode possible. Let's listen now to today's conversation with Lahav Harkov. Good morning, Lahav. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for inviting me on.
Listen, a lot going on. President Trump's 8 p.m. deadline is looming. Israel has been warning Iranians to stay away from railway stations. What do you expect over the next 24 hours?
Well, as usual for the past 2.5 years now, Israelis are going into a holiday in suspense, not knowing what's going to happen. Those who are observant and probably won't know till tomorrow night. But I think that, you know, at some point, President Trump's going to have to stop adding extensions to the deadline and really do what he says he's going to do. I mean, it just doesn't look like there's a real agreement on the table at this point. President Trump's been very vague about it. We're not even entirely certain who he's talking to, right? Like, there's different reports out there, but certainly nothing public. So I think it'll be a big surprise if there's some sort of deal between now and 8 p.m. U.S. time.
And do you see that ramping up in terms of attacks on Israel over the next couple of days?
You know, I think there's an expression in Israel, which is the armaments economy, meaning like you have X amount of, in Iran's case, X amount of ballistic missiles. And they have to sort of meet them out gradually, right? They can't waste it all at once, because especially at this point, they're not able, or Israel and the U.S. are pretty confident that they're not able to produce the missiles anymore. And so we've had some pretty bad days in Israel over Passover, and it might be another bad day, but every bad day just means that they have fewer missiles in their arsenal.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good way of looking at it. More details, meanwhile, have emerged about a really good news story, and that was the American pilot who was rescued after being shot down over Iran, after going down over Iran. We've learned a bit more about the role the IDF played in that operation. Just give us a sense of how that really shows how the Americans and the Israelis are working together so well.
I think what's incredible about this war from the perspective that you're asking about is that really the U.S. has not worked in such a close partnership with a country since, I think, the U.K. in World War II, right? Like, they've worked in a big, you know, the first Gulf War, there were dozens of countries and they all worked together. In Libya, the U.S. was leading from behind, you know, and in Iraq, there was, you know, a bunch of countries. But this is sort of two countries working together where most of the interests in the war are shared. They have shared goals and really coordinating so closely. And I think that this is another example of it, that Israel was putting its own soldiers in harm's way in order to save American soldiers, because it's maybe too much to say that they're operating as one military force. They are obviously separate militaries, but I think that it just shows the depth of that partnership.
Let's talk about the situation here in Israel then, because we did have some wartime unity when this all started almost 6 weeks ago. That seems to have evaporated. What is the opposition saying about the war now? Why are they being so critical?
So I think we need to separate sort of two things, which is to say that the Israeli public and most of the Israeli political opposition, though not all of it, was very supportive of this war in the beginning and continues to be supportive of the war broadly. As in, they think it's justified, that the strikes in Iran that started this war were justified because they know that Iran has been ramping up to a big war, that Iran poses, you know, the closest to an existential threat that you're going to get to Israel, that they want nuclear weapons. We see the ballistic missiles being rained on us. And that still stands for what I would say is the Zionist opposition, right? You have an anti-Zionist sort of block of Arab parties, and you have the far left, which depends which Knesset member you ask. But for the center to left opposition, they still support those aims broadly. But we're hearing a lot more voices, and I would say in the last week and a half or so starting, where they're questioning, where is this going? What is the exit strategy? What are the concrete achievements that we've got here beyond degrading their missile capabilities, which is important? And I don't think anybody's knocking that. But, you know, I talked about how they're not producing any missiles, but the minute this war ends, they can probably start producing missiles again if you have the same regime. So I think a lot of those questions...
That's exactly what the Saudis and the Emiratis are saying behind the scenes to President Trump as well, that, you know, as soon as there's a deal, they will start rebuilding again.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I think there's sort of two different things going on here. First of all, they're looking for an opening to be able to criticize Netanyahu without looking unpatriotic, right? Because this is an election year after all. But I think that a lot of these questions are reasonable. You might not like the way they word it, the way they make it personal about Netanyahu because it's political, but I think these are questions that a lot of people are asking. And that Netanyahu might not be able to so explicitly answer, right? Because he's not going to give away the plans of the war while the war is still going on, or they might still be in discussions with the U.S. These are the kinds of things that are going to remain a mystery. You know, there's the political end of it where they make everything very personal and they make it like, you know, all about Netanyahu instead of about the war, the way, you know, when the Misgav Center will more closely analyze the pluses and minuses of things, whereas they're all about, like, this is Netanyahu's fault, it's going bad. But in a way, I think they are raising important questions. And that's the role of the opposition, of a loyal opposition.
And before we go, some European countries may be publicly turning away from Israeli defense, but that's not the case with Greece. Athens has just signed a $750 million deal with Israel's Elbit Systems The four-year agreement will supply the Hellenic Armed Forces with its precise and universal launching system. It's a sign of the growing strategic defense partnership between Jerusalem and Athens. That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Don't forget to sign up, and we'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye.